Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're ripping the playbook wide open on career management. We've been handed this ultimate source document.
It's an incredible stack of sources, really.
It's a massive university guide. It's called Chart Your Career, and it basically lays out the entire blueprint for a high-functioning performance and growth system.
It's amazing because it treats performance management not as some, you know, HR chore, but as an engine for continuous development.
So our mission is pretty simple. We're giving you the shortcut. We are cutting through all the extensive documentation to show you the operating system.
The OS of how a top-tier organization really defines success.
And we want you to understand how that success is measured, well, holistically. It's not just by what you achieve, but crucially by how you achieve it.
That holistic view is absolutely key. The philosophy here is that the whole process acts like a compass for every single staff member.
A compass? How so?
Well, it's designed to help them orient their direction, rigorously assess, you know, exactly where they stand right now, and then point them precisely toward the next logical steps in their career.
And that orientation is founded on two core pillars, right? The first is this commitment to a holistic review and shared governance.
That collaborative feel, yeah. And the second is what they call the portfolio approach.
The portfolio approach.
Yeah, and that's how they capture the reality of a modern career. Your professional development isn't just one single metric. It emerges from the synergy of three things.
Okay.
The measurable outcomes and results you deliver, the interpersonal experiences you create, and, you know, the commitment to growth and learning you show over time.
So let's unpack the engine that drives all three of those. That's the partnership model. They put the employee and their manager right at the center of the process.
Squarely at the center.
Yeah.
And they insist it has to be built on continuous dialogue.
That distinction is so important. It's explicitly not an annual event.
No, definitely not. You don't just dump a year's worth of work on your manager's desk. It requires recurring, frequent, one-on-one check-ins.
So the partnership is co-created. It's this dynamic, ongoing conversation.
Exactly. It enables growth at every milestone, not just at the end of the year.
And with that commitment, you have to measure more than just deadlines. So what are the two core criteria they use to define success across the board?
They boil it down to two dimensions for that holistic view. The first is, well, the easy part, the outcomes and results.
The what?
That's the what. It's objective. The quality, the quantity, the consistency of the work that's delivered.
And the second harder part.
That's the core competencies, the how. This is all about the behavioral component. It reflects how employees approach their work, how they interact with colleagues, and navigate challenges.
And why is all this structure so necessary?
Well, the guide leans heavily on research here. They cite Gallup, and they emphasize that having absolute clarity of expectations, knowing both the what and the how, is one of the most significant factors influencing employee performance.
And retention, I imagine.
And retention.
Yeah.
If the target is foggy, performance just suffers immediately.
That clarity, then, it becomes a core responsibility of management. The manager has to define the target. And to guide them, the university guide offers this brilliant, simple mnemonic, the three I's.
The three I's. Yeah, I love this part. They're designed to make sure the conversation is collaborative, not just a top-down instruction.
So what's the first I?
The first I is inquire. Before you even define the task, you ask for the employee's perspective. What do they think is required?
And then you move to the second I, inform.
Right. This is where the manager clearly describes the task, the non-negotiable outcome, and all the specific details needed for success. It just prevents guesswork.
And the third I, which I think is probably the most powerful, is impact.
It really is. You share how their specific work contributes to the team and the larger organizational goals. I mean, instead of just saying, I need this report by Friday.
You'd say something like,
you'd say, I need this report by Friday so the president has the correct data to sign off on the funding proposal, which impacts our budget for the next 3 years. It just instantly elevates the purpose.
And that purpose is so critical for engagement. So the formal way to structure all of this is through goal setting. The source distinguishes between two types of goals.
Yep. First, we have performance goals. These are about your ongoing job responsibilities, you know, the baseline work.
Like automating a monthly report or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Or maintaining a specific service level. Then you have professional development goals, which are strictly about building new skills or capabilities.
Like taking a course or leading a big meeting for the first time.
That's it. And the guide doesn't just say set goals. It gives you frameworks. They start with the classic one everyone knows, SMART goals.
A specific, measurable, achievable
Relevant and time-bound.
Yeah.
Yeah. And SMART is best for predictable, stable, project-based work. The example they use is perfect. Submit 3 grant proposals totaling at least $2 million by December 15th.
It's very clear. Closed-ended, easily verifiable.
But let's be honest, not every role works like that.
Right. In some environments, that kind of rigidity can actually hurt you.
Which is why they also offer the FAST framework.
FAST stands for?
Frequent, ambitious, specific, and transparent. It encourages that continuous feedback and adjustment loop right in the goal structure.
So an example of that might be?
Something like, launch a new patient education tool with mandatory weekly progress check-ins with stakeholders to ensure we catch user issues immediately.
Okay, so if I'm listening, how do I know which one to use, SMART or FAST?
And that's the real insight here. They stress that the framework actually matters less than ensuring shared clarity and purpose.
Ah, okay.
A good goal, whatever you call it, has to answer 3 core questions. What is the exact outcome? Why does it matter to the organization? And how will we track progress together?
If it doesn't answer all 3, it's a bad goal.
It's probably a bad goal.
So that's the what sorted. Now let's turn to the how, the core competencies. You said this focuses on behavior, not mastery. Why is that distinction so important?
Because mastery is subjective. It can take years. Behavior is something you can see. It's observable. It's actionable.
So it makes feedback more objective, less personal.
Far less threatening. Instead of saying, you know, you lack leadership skills, you can point to a specific behavior. In the meeting yesterday, you frequently interrupted the facilitator. That's measurable. That's what this system aims for.
And to create that shared language, they use 6 universal competencies. Let's list those out.
Okay, they are. Communication, teamwork and collaboration, customer service, accountability, problem solving, and learning and continuous improvement.
So let's use communication to see how detailed this gets. What does success look like there?
It's not just about being a good talker. Success looks like seeking confirmation of understanding. So, you know, asking clarifying questions instead of just nodding along.
Right, assuming you're on the same page when you aren't.
Exactly. It also means balancing speaking with active listening. So if you're dominating a discussion, you pause, maybe you reflect back key points, or you actively invite quieter voices into the conversation.
That's great. What about another one, like accountability? What's a successful behavior there versus an unsuccessful one?
For accountability, success looks like taking ownership of your errors and proactively offering solutions, not just explaining away a mistake.
And an unsuccessful behavior?
That would be like frequent blame shifting or consistently missing your own deadlines without letting the team know ahead of time. These are the behavioral examples managers have to track.
And this framework is for conversation, not just scoring once a year, which leads us to the formal mechanism for that dialogue, the quarterly rhythm.
Right. This is what puts that partnership model into actual practice. The year is divided into 4 key touch points.
Quarter one, what happens then?
That's the start. It's dedicated to reviewing essential functions and approving all those performance and development goals we just talked about.
And then quarters 2 and 3 are the heart of it all, the ongoing connects.
Yep. A formal documented conversation is required quarterly, but the best practice advice is to have informal check-ins, ideally monthly.
And finally, quarter 4 is the annual review,
which is the moment to summarize the year, celebrate achievements, and really dedicate time to discussing next steps and long-term career development.
So here's where the rubber meets the road for managers. What are the non-negotiables? What must a manager do for this to work?
They absolutely must document specific behavioral examples throughout the year. But the most critical mandate is intervention.
They can't wait for the quarterly meeting.
No. If they notice a pattern or a significant issue, if communication is falling apart, they have to schedule a prompt, focused meeting right away.
So the manager shares the observation, explains the effect of that behavior, and then works on solutions. It's a proactive correction.
It's not a surprise annual critique.
Exactly.
But it is a partnership.
So the employee has responsibilities here too.
Big ones. Mm. You have to seek clarity if you don't have it, fulfill your responsibilities, track your own progress, and critically, bring issues forward promptly. Don't suffer in silence until Q4.
And that moment that brings it all together for the employee is that Q4 annual review. This is where the self-assessment becomes a really powerful tool.
It's so powerful. That self-assessment requires you to summarize achievements and, more importantly, highlight specific examples of how you live those core behaviors.
So here's the best practice tip for you, the listener.
Own your growth. Don't wait for your manager to suggest development pathways. Identify the training, the stretch projects, the mentorship opportunities that interest you, and bring them to the discussion first.
That self-direction feeds right into the final, most insightful part of this guide, connecting performance to career pathways.
This is where that matrix tying together the outcomes and the core competencies determines where you go next. And the nuance here is what's really brilliant.
Okay, so let's look at the tracks for high performers.
Let's contrast two. First, you have succession planning. This is for employees who are exceeding on both outcomes and core behaviors. They're the role models.
So their pathway is accelerated.
Totally. Leadership development programs, explicit plans for promotion, or a bigger scope within, say, 12 to 18 months.
Then we have the development and growth track. Who's in that category?
These are employees who are typically exceeding results, but maybe they're just demonstrating or meeting expectations for the core behaviors. They do the job well, they produce great output, but maybe they aren't the best collaborator just yet.
Okay. So their pathways are focused more on refining those behaviors.
Precisely. Coaching, formal training, and communication or team management. The organization sees their value, but needs them to deepen their commitment to the how.
But the most crucial category, the one that really tests the integrity of the whole system, is under the challenging track, development with improvement.
Yes. And specifically, the employee who is exceeding results but needing improvement in core behaviors.
This is the classic rock star who gets amazing numbers but poisons the team culture.
That's the one. And the sources are so clear about this. Results alone are a trap. This person's path is strict. Clear written expectations, non-negotiable timelines for improvement, and specified consequences if the behavior doesn't change.
So they're essentially told, your results are great, but your behavior is incompatible with long-term success here. Why is the response so strict for someone who delivers?
Because the organization is making a strategic decision. They are willing to sacrifice short-term gains, those amazing results, to maintain long-term cultural health and psychological safety for everyone else.
It's the system's ultimate commitment to the idea that the how is just as important as the what.
That is it. Perfectly said.
That's a profound commitment. So what does this all mean for us? I think the key takeaway from understanding this whole chart your career system is that you now have a shared language, a clear structure.
Whether you are managing or being managed.
You have the tools to move performance management from, you know, a subjective annual dread to a continuous, objective, and supportive partnership.
And if you look at that development matrix, it's packed with growth opportunities. Training, job shadowing, mentoring, even for steady performers who are just meeting expectations. It's an explicit endorsement of continuous learning.
So we'll leave you with a final thought on that.
Given that your growth is part of your own portfolio, what is one core competency? Just one area of behavioral improvement that you will proactively target for growth this quarter, even if your current performance is already meeting expectations.
Something to mull over and apply this week. Thank you for diving deep with us.
Until next time.